The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
By the time we get to John 13, we have learned that Jesus is about to be crucified. Then in John 17, Jesus made several very, what I would consider, astounding or astonishing statements. And I would like for us to read one of them at this point. So with that in mind, please go with me to John 17. And we will read verses 14 through 16. John 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, we know this is on Passover night, just before he was crucified, early the next morning. Verse 15, and I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, with these verses in mind, let me ask what I would think to be a very important question. What did Jesus mean by saying, we are not of the world as he is not of the world? I have entitled this message, Not of the World. Please understand, brethren, the world that Jesus is referring to and speaking about here is Satan's anti-God system working in and through mankind. And this phrase, in the world or within the world, that includes all the cultures of all of the nations of the earth. Jesus is clearly not of that anti-God system. And he also makes it very clear here, stating that those who are with him or accompanying him, and physically at the time that this happened, it would be the apostles and some of the disciples, they also were not of the world either. They were of the same system as he is, and that would be the kingdom of God. There'd be a lot of ways explaining that, but that makes it real simply stated. And brethren, here's the thing. The same is true for those of us who are in Jesus Christ today, and that would be the Church of God. So with this in mind, let me ask, have we, ever felt out of place? And by that I mean that you did not fit in. You look at what's going on in the world today. We don't have to describe it. We know what's happening. We know all the different cultural trends and things that are happening. Have we ever felt like a square peg in a round hole trying to fit in into this world? Have we ever felt like a sore thumb sticking out from everyone else? We would probably all answer yes. In some way or another, at least sometimes or another, the answer would be yes. And if we have answered yes to these questions, then we certainly need to understand we are not alone. And what I mean by that is that all true believers who are living godly lives feel the same pressures while living in this world and not of the world. We also need to realize bearing our own cross and being persecuted can come in many different forms. It can come to us in many different ways. Now, having said that, please go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, if you would go with me a little further back into the book, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. And here I'm going to read out of the New International Version this one verse. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So he's telling us that we're to be in the world but not of the world, and things are not always going to go so smoothly for us. Why? Because we're in the world and not of the world. I mean, think about it this way, brethren. How can we realistically live from day to day in the midst of other people from whom we differ so greatly, and values and standards and morals and whatever else we could say there, without being considered peculiar or odd or strange or weird or a kook? Well, I don't think we can. And the reason I think that is because, according to them, we are peculiar and odd and strange and weird and kooks. I mean, simply just look at traditions that are happening in this very season in which we are living today. We stand out. Now, I know there are some others, but within the Church of God, in the world, we stand out. I don't mean our little group here. I don't mean this little administration. I mean all of us collectively who are part of the body of Jesus Christ, i.e. the Church of God. We stand out in the world. Well, no, I don't keep that holiday. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Well, I am. Probably more so than you are. I mean, we don't tell them that. But that's true, right? You know, because we actually try to live what he says by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Having said these things, therefore, another question that I think we need to consider is that, as true believers, what is the attitude that we need to have toward the world while we are living in the world but not of the world? First of all, let's all keep in mind that just because we are not of the world, that does not mean we should hate the world or that we are to totally disregard the world. Now, what do I mean by that? We can still enjoy the world. And by the word world here, I am talking about the beautiful creation that God has given to us, to all of mankind, for us all to enjoy. We can appreciate that. The work of God, what he has done, the creation, the beautiful. We have a little baby here today that is laughing and crying and all. And it's beautiful. It is part of the creation of God. And we can rejoice in it. We smile about it. That's all part of the world. It's just not part of the system. Yet, however, we also need to realize, and this is like speaking to the choir today, and I understand that. There is a dangerous darkness here that we must avoid. And by that, I am saying the world's values are not the things that Jesus Christ values. And neither should we. The world's pressures are not the pressures of an ambassador for Jesus Christ's attitude. We just sang about that, which is over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, where are we ambassadors? In this world. In this world. Personal pleasures are no longer our goal in life. Yet, at the same time, one time it was. Before we were called, before we were converted, before God called us out of the cares and the ways of the world, that's where we were. Now, I know there are some of us who were born in the church and we've always live this way of life, but that doesn't mean that we still have not been involved in some of those things. But rather today, for us who are in the world but not of the world, it is rather the first thing foremost in our mind needs to be, hopefully it is the worship of God and the living our lives as light in the darkness of this world. Jesus praying to the Father just before he is murdered for us and for all of the world, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of it. I'm asking you to keep them from the evil. whether that would be evil of that is happening all around in the world, or whether being the evil one, it really doesn't matter because they're synonymous. But he wants us to be in it, to be lights and examples. And so, having said these things, I'd like for us to consider a few attitudes that I believe that we need to have toward the world. Number one, and I'm not saying this is there any particular order, this is just the way that I have them. We are to come out of the world. We are to have that as an attitude about us. We're Church of God members. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are to have the attitude of coming out of the world. In other words, not being part of it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's real plain. He tells us to come out, to be separate. Now, we've also got this ringing in our ears over here that he was praying to the Father and says, I'm not asking you to take them away out of it. I'm telling you to keep the evil from them, but that they be in the world, but not of the world. So we're left here for a purpose. We're left here for reasons to shine as lights. Another verse that I want to read is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Come out from among them. This is just another way of saying that very same thing. And then another one still in this first attitude of coming out of the world that I want us to look at is John 15, verse 18. John 15 and verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we could go back and ask those questions. Have any of us ever felt like that we stood out, that we didn't fit in? Yeah. Why? Because we don't fit in. We don't fit in. And yet, at the same time, we do more so than even the world when you really understand this whole principle. And maybe I get to some of that later. I have one other verse here I want to show. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. We have been separate. We are to come out and we're to be separate to receive the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a whole message in that one statement. Meaning, being part of the world, we're not going to receive it. Because that's not where you can receive it. It's being in the world, but not of the world, is where we receive it. So, I think that we can see that as true believers, this is an attitude that we should have. It doesn't make us, we're better than they are. No, the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ living in us is better than they are. And they don't have that and we do. That's the only thing that makes us better than, and we're going to go around bragging about that? I don't think so. Okay, let's move on. Another attitude that I think that we need to have toward the world is a number two, if you're listing this, is we are not to love it. Now, I already stated earlier, we're not to hate it. In other words, to despise it, because there are some things of this world, God's creation, that we can enjoy, and we should not despise it. We should enhance it and keep it and glorify it and do all of those kinds of things that we can do. But I'm talking about something else. And so go with me here to 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he goes on and tells us what those things are in a listing. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what makes up the world. And again, there's books that have been written about those three points. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And we already saw in another verse that that's receiving the glory of Jesus Christ. Number three, we are not to conform to the world. Many of you are going to come up and know immediately the verses I'm going to read here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Where do we prove this? In the world, but not of it. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We're to be demonstrated to those about us that hate us, we've already read, because we're not of the world. Yeah, we live here, but we're really not of it. We don't participate in the things that they participate in because they're not of God. But we're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number four, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, we could go and explain all of these words, but I think we get a picture, and maybe at some other time we can expound on some of these terms. I'm just getting the point right now. Number five, we are to be aggressive against it. Now, why I say that, we can see in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're to be aggressive against that. Yet, here is the thing, brethren. No matter what we do, there will always be some who will not like us. And I mean, Jesus even told his disciples, and that certainly does include us, that they would hate us without a cause. John 17, verse 14. In the same passage where he is saying, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world, but I don't want you to take them out of the world because I want them to be examples in the world. And that's not what he says there, but that's what he says there. John 17 and verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 15, go back a couple of chapters earlier. John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now verse 25. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. They had no cause to hate Jesus Christ. And he's saying they have no cause to hate us, but they do. And of course, where it is written, it's actually, it says out of the law, technically it's out of the writings. It's from Psalm 35, verse 19, and Psalm 69 and verse 4. And so, brother, let's realize, in this world, there is always going to be the unfairness of unreasonable people. It's always going to be there. How can I be so dogmatic? Because it's one of the characteristics of the world. So it's always going to be there. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And a word "thee" should be better, is better translated to be put in there. Have not the faith. All men don't have what we have. That's what he's saying. And that's why this is true. This is why there are unreasonable and wicked men. Deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men do not have this faith. They do not have this knowledge, this understanding that we have. And brethren, I want us all to realize, and I want us to acknowledge the fact, I mean, you know, in our own mind's eye here, that those who are of the world will think we are strange, because to them, we are strange. What do you mean you don't keep these holidays? Don't you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah. But you don't keep these? No. That's strange to a mindset who believes that. I mean, we've got atheists this holiday season that are celebrating the season. To me, that's strange. And if you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, I understand, let's get it at least at the right time. You know, my point is not that they think it's now. It's not my point. It's not my focus. But if you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, shouldn't you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And there are so many people that do it. I read in an article just this week in preparing for this, there are many Muslims today who will be keeping tomorrow Christmas. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Yet we're the strange ones. And to them, we are. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Another verse tells us, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. We're to have that mindset of Jesus Christ within us, Jesus Christ living in us, Galatians 2:20. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, I know that we could read these verses that I'm reading and say, well, yeah, this particularly is referring to Jesus Christ. Yes, it is. But by extension, because where Jesus Christ is in us, it also does extend to us as true believers who are suffering because of Jesus Christ being in us. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life now is, it is us. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought or worked the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. This is talking about when we were before being converted, before being called, before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. All of those things, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Speaking of evil, they speak of evil of you because you don't do that. They think you're strange. Hey, what do you mean you don't do these things? You used to do these things. What do you mean you no longer keep Christmas, or you no longer keep this particular thing in the world? You used to. They think it's strange. You shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. If we're no longer walking that way, or maybe never walk that way, to them, we are strange. And if we were part of that, we would think you were strange. You know what I'm saying. Now, from what we have seen, let's ask this question. What can we do to make sure we have done our part? And done our part, I mean by being in the world, but not of the part, but not of the world. What is our part in that? I don't typically do this, but I'm going to give you a list. In fact, I'm going to give you 10 points. 10 is not a magic number here. It just happened to be when I stopped. Number one, be friendly. Now, what I'm saying here is, think about it this way. Friendliness, not bitterness, is a quality that every true believer should have, right? I mean, I think we would all agree with that. So we be friendly. And we need to also remember, it is warmthness that draws people. It is coldness that repels people or casts people away from us. Therefore, we need to have a humility about us that will cause us to be able to mix and mingle with all classes of people. The point is, my point here is, intellectual, financial, social, or spiritual arrogance will never influence people for good. It makes no difference how much truth of God we know if we come across as being some type of know-it-all or arrogant or a snob. Or you think that's going to draw people to Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think so. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Brethren, it is possible for us to get down among people without getting down to their level of sin. I can say that because we have the example of Jesus Christ. He did that. Now, I know you come back and say, yeah, well, that's different. Well, is it really? I mean, yeah, in so many ways it is, but the fact is, Jesus Christ lives in us. Matthew, let me show you this one illustration. Matthew 9 and verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? And so do we. And we're to be friendly. It's not an accusative thing. How do we fit in? We're friendly to all people. They're going to think it's strange anyway. So what else can we do to make sure that we are doing our part? Number two, be unselfish. Some of these I'm going to just give you a list. I'm going to just give you points, and some I'll have some verses with. Number two is be unselfish. Number three is do not be self-centered. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is not focused within brother in the church to another brother / sister in the church. This is talking about us to everyone else. Of course it includes among ourselves, but it also includes among our neighbors and all of that. Number four, be a people person. Number five, be tolerant of others. Number six, understand that other people do not have the same understanding that we have. That is one of the biggest things for us to fit in, to be in the world and not of the world, and yet being an example to them, to understand. Like I said, this doesn't make us better. It makes us different. And that difference is what they call strange. because what we believe is so different. It's so different because they are still at the place of being deceived by Satan, the devil. Number seven, have the facts before we develop an opinion about another person. How many times, not asking for show of hand or comments, but how many times have you and I received some kind of bad opinion from about us from another person because they didn't have the facts? Number eight, be sincere, truthful, honest, and consistent. Philippians 1 and verse 10. Philippians 1 and verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Until he comes, we should be this way. We are to be sincere and without offense. Is it going to happen? Of course not. We're going to make mistakes. This is goals. Brother, an important point for us to consider is don't pretend to have warmth and friendliness. I know there's a time whenever that needs to be done, but my point, what I'm trying to get to, that is it needs to really be natural and spontaneous. It needs to be part of who we are. And if we're not there yet, yeah, maybe we need to even to pretend warmth and friendliness until it becomes a reality within who and what we are. Okay, number nine, I told you it's 10. Number nine, we need to be gentle, stable, and sincere in what we do. Yeah, I know I've repeated a couple of the points. And number 10, we need to be involved in what is referred to as the golden rule. Matthew 7, words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, whatever, however you want men to treat you, do you even so to them? For this is the law and the prophets. This is fulfilling in some ways. It comes out of the Old Testament, comes out of the book, comes out of the Bible, out of the Word of God. This is where we're to live toward all people. Whatever, however we would want them to treat us, we treat them that way. Remember, these are all points in helping us to understand how we can fulfill our part in being in the world but not of the world. So as true believers and followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though we will be hated in the world because of who we are, who are we? We're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We're true believers. Because of who we are and because what we believe, what do we believe? We believe this book is the truth of God. We believe that we are to, as Jesus said, that you are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord shall men live. We believe that. And because of in whom we believe, who is that? Well, it's God. And all that he is, we are still to be a right source of strength and security and light to others, both in and out of the church of God. Now, I want us to go back and reread what we read at the very beginning. Go back to John 17 with me. John 17, verse 14, same verses. Same translation, King James translation. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As we know, the world system is not all beautiful. And as we know, all people of this world are not all fair. In fact, most are the very opposite, because they're in the world. They are of that system. We also know those who are the perverted and the wicked ones are going to constantly cause unhappiness to us who are in the world but not of the world, but even among themselves within the world and of the world, they cause unhappiness there also. And when we really understand why they're there, we can understand that statement and how true that statement really is. And as Jesus said, we are in the world but not of the world, therefore they hate us. I mean, we read that earlier, 1 John 2:15. But I want you to go with me now to 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Whew! Think about that. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. And this word not is knowledge of, but it also could be an acknowledgement of who and what he is. They don't acknowledge that we're sons of God. They don't acknowledge that we're the ones who have the true beliefs, the true teachings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Sabbath, the holy days, all of those things that makes us stand out and so different from everybody else. So, brethren, with what we have seen, let me ask each one of us another question. What do the people of the world see when they look at us? I mean, do they see an unhappy, judgmental kook who is nothing more than some type of a fanatic, even with what we believe? Is that possible? Oh, absolutely, it's possible. Depends on our attitude. Depends upon our approach. It's telling them, you're wrong, whether we say the words or not. It's all of that. Or, on the other hand, do they see a reasonable, fair, honest, caring, compassionate person who tries to do what is right in every situation? They may not understand what we do, but at least they could see us that way. Now, I don't agree with your doctrines. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, when we would come back from the Feast of Tabernacles, Mr. Herbert Armstrong would make a statement once in a while. I mean, I heard him say this at least three or four times after the feast, same statement. He would say, the world doesn't understand it, but they like us because we're friendly. We're this way. We are reasonable. We're fair. We're honest. We're caring, compassionate people. And we also come with a lot of money. But they see us and they said, we really like you people, but you got a strange religion. And that's how they see us. Well, I'm okay with the world seeing us that way. I'd rather them see us that way than to see us being an unhappy, judgmental kook who is nothing more than a fanatic who has the truth. I'd rather see us being friendly people, but you've got a weird religion, because they don't understand. Remember, we understand things they do not yet understand. How are we presenting ourselves? What do those of the world see when they see us? Now, please go with me, if you would, to John 3 and verse 19. John 3, verse 19. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. This, brethren, is what we came out of. This is what he called us out of. He chose us and to bring us out of the darkness. He turned on the light for us. Those in the world love to be in darkness because they don't realize they are in darkness, and the reason is because they are deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. I know we could read it is deceiving, but which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the world, and his angels were cast out with him. But who is deceiving the whole world? Having said that, however, Jesus said we, as true believers, are the light of the world. They have no light because they are deceived. They're in darkness. They don't know they're in darkness, and they love being in darkness. And we're not in darkness because it has been revealed to us. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Brethren, do you understand, in other words, what this is telling us is we are not to hide our light from those who are in the world and loving darkness. That doesn't mean that we're to go around and tell them, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. No, it's those points that we're talking about, how we present ourselves in the world. And they see a difference, and perhaps in God dealing with them and calling them and talking with them and can bring them out and say, what makes you so different? Why are you so different? I'll tell you a quick little story. We were asked, our family was asked one time at the Feast of Tabernacles, what makes this group, what makes you people so different? You know, well, we're a church group, we're here for the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, okay, but why are you guys so different? Because you see, there have been other church groups have come here. You are not the same thing. I invited her to church, invited her to the feast. She came. And as a result, she started attending the church over time. It wasn't me. You see what I'm saying? I just personally can tell you the story. They saw something, and it was the whole group of people she saw. She was a waitress. She saw something, and God opened her eyes. And what we all need to realize is, while being a light in the world, we must also realize people see the Lord Jesus Christ and His church through us. I've made this statement several times. God gets a bad rap for the people who claim to know Him. Is that true with us? And see, the thing is, brethren, Jesus never promised that it was going to be easy being in the world, did he? He never said it was going to be easy being in the world but not of the world. No, what he promised was glory for eternity for being separated from the world. 1 Peter 4, verse 14, the NIV again. If you are insulted, King James says, reproached, because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of Christ, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be because that you are a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, even a meddler. Verse 16, however, if you suffer as a Christian because you are a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His ways, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I'm not saying we go around looking for criticisms. I'm saying we're going to be hated because we do. Because we live this way, but it says, don't be ashamed if you suffer as a result. But if you're doing it and setting right examples and all of that, that should be few and far. They should just going to hate our ways. So, brethren, as true believers, we have the Word of God, and we have God's Holy Spirit in us. We, therefore, can come out of the world and be separated, being in the world, but not of the world. I also want us to realize the world is waiting for their opportunity. They don't know it. They don't know that they have this opportunity ahead of them, but we do. And we're going to be kooks and all of this fanatics. Are we going to be friendly and outgoing and understanding and not judgmental? Are we going to be the way that we've talked about here? The world is waiting for their opportunity. And make no mistake about it, they do not know it, but we do. Go with me to Romans 8, verse 17, we begin. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's talking about the church. That's talking about us. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings, whatever happens, because we are living this way of life, we are in the world but not of the world, and we suffer persecution as a result of it. It's not about the persecution, brethren, I want us to focus on. It's the way of life that we are to be living as examples to a world that does not know this, who waits for this opportunity that we have, and they're going to have. Sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, they are waiting for us. They are waiting for us. I guess that you actually could say they're waiting for us to show how to live in the world but not be of the world. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. How absolutely blessed we are to be true believers, followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Happy Sabbath, and God bless each one of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.